So, who has been working through their Looking for Love booklet? Oh, some people. And if you're stuck on some of the questions, the chance to discuss them is in the group time. And I know I've left some blanks in mine and thought, oh, I'm just not sure about that one. And hopefully, when we discuss them in the groups, it'll we'll be able to work out what some of these things mean. But it's been quite exciting, I think. I said to Ian the other day, I've got to think of five things that annoy me about you. And he said, oh, I know what list you've put me on then. I said, no, I've got, So it's been quite fun for us to, I'm keeping mine secret though, so you can't see. But we're making lists and things like that. It's been a really interesting week. And Sunday's a day off. Did you realise that? You've got 6 days, Sunday. Sunday we've got the bits to fill in the book. And Matt did say he's copied some bits of paper. He's got some bits of paper down here if anyone wants them. Though I don't know. We'll see. But come and get them if you want to write anything down. So we're looking at the Good Samaritan, and I thought it would be fun to look at some Good Samaritan stories in the news. Because the Good Samaritan is something which you quite often see in newspapers. So I've got our first Good Samaritan. Well, it's actually, can anyone tell me, this story is to do with a Good Samaritan. Can anyone tell me who this person is? Anyone know? Anyone read the newspapers and know who this person is and what happened to him? You got an idea? No? Anyone, any ideas? What do you think happened to this boy? He's 14 years old. And I'll give you another clue. He was at a tram station in Altrincham. Altrincham? Well, that's the way it's spelled. I don't know. He was there in the tram station and something happened to him. Anyone know? Good idea, Paul. Someone over here. Here, Jill knows.
He collapsed, but no one helped him.
Try that again.
He collapsed, but no one helped him.
Thank you, Joe. He collapsed on the station in his school uniform and nobody helped him. There was no Good Samaritan. He just fainted and fell down, banged his head, and about 80 people stepped over him to get to the... You know, they don't know how many people it was. And his mum said, and you can see the story from the newspaper, how could rush hour passengers ignore my son? He collapsed. And she was furious. She said she would have understood if he'd been wearing a hoodie, but he was in his school uniform. So that's interesting, isn't it? That she thought that it would have been okay to step over him if he hadn't been in his uniform. So that was one story from just a week ago, I think. What about this man? Any idea how this man ended up in the river? He is described as a Good Samaritan. Anyone see this? What do you think he was doing? Oh, here's an idea from Josh. How did he end up in the river? What do you think?
Did he save someone?
Almost. He was certainly trying to save someone or something. A dog. Yes, there's been a few dog stories, hasn't there? Here's the bigger picture of the river. Frozen river, a stranger's dog in the water. He jumped in to get it. You know what happened, don't you? The dog got out and he had to be rescued. So is that what it means to be a Good Samaritan? That's what the paper called him, the Good Samaritan. Is a Good Samaritan somebody who will jump into a freezing river to save a stranger's dog? That's what the newspapers say. Interesting. And the last one I've got. Now, does anyone know who the Kmart Good Samaritans are? Kmart's a store in America, a bit like Asda. Anyone know who the Kmart Good Samaritans are? This was a story just before Christmas. I think I'm the only newspaper reader in church today. Maybe it's the Daily Mail. The Kmart Good Samaritans. Well, I'll tell you about them because this is a lovely story. In America, when parents are saving up for Christmas for presents for people, sometimes what happens is they haven't got much money, and so they put some money aside every week to buy presents for people. And it's called layaway. And the presents are put to one side in the shop and they pay some money. But sometimes it's really sad. They can't pay all the money off. And they lose the presents and their family, their friends don't get the presents they would have got. But in America, in Kmart, suddenly people were coming to pay some money in their thing and were being told, all your money's been paid off. And there's really great video online of people crying, saying, you know, they got back and there was 1 pence left to pay, 1 cent to pay. And people had paid off hundreds of dollars of this layaway money so that people could get their presents at Christmas time. And they called them the Kmart Good Samaritans because they helped strangers, people they didn't know. Someone had gone into the shop and said, I want to pay off all these people's bills, but I don't know who they are and I don't want them to know who I am. So that's another Good Samaritan. So it's obviously something that is in our culture, in our world. People know what a Good Samaritan is. They think they do. Let's see about the original Good Samaritan. Here he is. We'll look at the story now. The original Good Samaritan didn't really exist. He's in a story. He actually wasn't a real person. He's in a story that Jesus told. So you saw Jesus sitting around the fire, and he was telling the story. He was just telling a story to make a point, to make people think. And it's a really rich story. It's a story that's got lots of things to tell us. And we're going to read it again. And it was an answer to this question. If you've got to love your neighbor as yourself, I've put it in big. Well then, who is my neighbor? That's a very big question. Is my neighbor this person who lives in the house next to me? Or if they live a little bit up, are they still my neighbour? Or is it anyone I know? Or who is my neighbour? That was what Jesus was, the question he was answering. So, well, let's have a look at the story. Here's the story. Luke 10, 30 to 37. The man said, who's my neighbour? And Jesus told this story. There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, beat him up, leaving him half dead. And we saw that that road was very rocky and the robbers would hide behind it, hide the rocks and jump out. And it so happened that a priest was going down the road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came. They went over, looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. And the video gave us a reason or two why the people might have walked away. They might have not wanted to get involved with dead bodies or something like that. I don't know. We don't really know why they walked away. People at the time would have had ideas, though. And one of my ideas is that maybe the man, when the Levite went and had a look at the man, he decided he wasn't somebody he wanted to help. He made a judgment on him. He decided, no, I don't think I want to help this man. Which is a bit hard, isn't it? There's the man lying there, all battered and bruised, and somebody looks at him and says, Matt, I'm not going to help you. Maybe the man wasn't rich enough for him to help. Or maybe he thought, what's this stupid man done coming down this road where there's robbers? I'm here and maybe I've got some people with me to help me. He should have known better than to end up on this road. He's got himself mugged by being stupid, coming down a road on his own. Maybe that's what he thought. Because I don't know about you, but I know when something goes wrong for other people, I'm not always very sympathetic. So, for instance, I dropped my parents off at the airport last week. They had an hour and 10 minutes to get on a plane. They'd already checked in. And they called me up and said, we've missed the plane. And my first thought was, I did think, oh, dear. And then I thought, how could they miss the plane? They had an hour and 10 minutes. And, it turned out my dad had left an aerosol in his bag and he'd got searched and it delayed them. He had an aerosol in his bag. I couldn't believe it. I was thinking, I can't believe that I had to do that. Even though I've got a real track record for missing things myself. Even though I actually missed the Eurostar once, and just by being late, I was hard on them. And I thought, that's their own fault. And I think that is a lesson that we can learn from the Good Samaritan, is not to judge him. If you look at when we see the next bit of the story, our hero, the Samaritan, he looked at the man and had pity on him. He had compassion on him. His heart went out to him. He felt sorry for him. He didn't blame him. You know, sometimes people find themselves that they've ended up on a road they didn't mean to be on. They find themselves on the road to Jericho and they didn't mean to be there in the place where they'd get mugged. And it's not right for us to then say, you got yourself into that situation. Get yourself out. We need to be people of compassion. And I've got a picture here, again, as you don't read the papers, you might not have seen any of these people. But these are people that are from the pictures from the Daily Mail. And the Daily Mail quite often print pictures of people and stories about people in the newspaper, and they tell us things about them, and they ask us to judge them. They ask us to say, he shouldn't have done that. Why did she do that? That's wrong. And of course, some of the things that some of these people have done, not all of them, but some of the things that some of these people have done are wrong. But some of them are people in trouble, and some of them are people who have just been on the road and things have happened to them. I could give you some labels that the newspapers use. Benefit scroungers, feral yobs, bankers. That's in our world, we take that in, don't we, sometimes? We take it in and we become judgmental and harsh towards people, even when we don't mean to be. That's our society's values, but it's not what God tells us to do. God tells us to have compassion on people. We've got a little drama now.
Good morning, Hannah. Do you mind if I join you?
Of course not, John. Be my guest. Oh, my goodness, this is going to be boring.
Yes, we do seem to be rather busy today. Obviously, you wouldn't catch me sitting here if I could have got a chair anywhere near my friends.
So, another successful family service. Your dramas always help to bring the service to life. True, the services do need bringing to life. Just a shame that the dramas are the kiss of death.
Well, thank you, Hannah. I like to offer God my best, you know. As do you, of course, with your contribution to the band. Just a pity her contribution is so dreadfully woeful, that's all.
Thank you, John. The band is certainly a big commitment. It can be quite challenging. Mainly because old wrinklies like him have as much sense of rhythm as a tea dance in a morgue.
Well, I think it's actually quite nice to have someone teaching us new songs occasionally. Just wish it wasn't every other week.
Well, I think that music is one way which the young people can get involved in the church, since they aren't allowed to do anything else.
Yes. In fact, it would be nice if younger people could start making more of a contribution now, because, after all, you're going to be the leaders of the church tomorrow.
Well,
just hope that I'll be long dead by then, or I'll definitely stop coming.
Yes, in fact, it would be nice if younger people could get more involved in leading the church services, don't you think? Instead of old codgers like him running everything?
Well, of course. I think that if your GCSE coursework allows, I'm sure that the leadership team would be open to suggestions. Not much chance of that, since all the youngsters I know spend all their time on Facebook.
Well, that shouldn't be a problem, seeing as I finished my GCSEs last year. Not that he'd be interested in knowing anything about someone who's too young for Outlook.
No. Really? Doesn't time fly? That's amazing. Why, it only seems like yesterday that you and your family started coming to church. Not like my family. We may not be market roaders, but at least we've been around for a couple of decades. Well, talking of time flying, I think I'd better be going. Don't want the lunch to burn, do we?
No, that would be a shame. Not that anyone would be able to tell the difference. Well, it's been nice to chat.
Yes, I think it's really important to build bridges with other groups in the church. So, yep, see you soon. If I'm very unlucky.
Yes, we mustn't leave it so long. Just long enough for all of the people of your age to be in a home. Bye.
Well, we're not like that, are we? We're not like that, but In a way we are, of course, because it's one way of making ourselves feel good, isn't it? To think, well, at least I'm not like them. But that's what the Bible says. That's not what God wants us to do when we're loving one another. He doesn't want us to be looking down on other people for any reason. And he wants us to have compassion on each other. And here's a couple of verses about that. In Luke 6, Jesus says, don't judge others. And in 1 Peter, have compassion for one another, love as brothers. That was one of the verses we read in Looking for Love over the last week. Have compassion, see things as other people see it. This is quite challenging. And as I was preparing this, and I walked down the street the other day and I saw somebody that I have crossed the street to avoid having a conversation with myself because I thought it would be too awkward because perhaps I had judged them. And I was so challenged, I thought, oh, here am I going to stand up and talk about this? And I've avoided this person in the past. I've literally crossed the street. Because I was feeling quite smug, of course, about it to that point. But when it comes to it, we do, in some way or another, pass judgments on other people sometimes. And God wants to challenge us in that. He wants to say, have compassion on one another. Let's read a little bit more here. The Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he took the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. Well, what does it mean to be a good Samaritan? What did the man do? How does God want us to love others? I think this relates back to the man with the dog. The man who jumped into the water and got all wet himself. And then had to be rescued. Here's Jesus saying to us, here's how to help the man. First of all, meet his needs. Meet his first needs. He needed to be bandaged up, cleaned up, and get him to the inn. And then he helped him to move on. He said to him, the man at the inn, I'll pay for him later on. Yeah? First of all, I'm going to the next slide, Owen. First of all, oh, sorry, I should have read this bit. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. Take care of him, he told the innkeeper. And when I come back this way, I'll pay you whatever you're spending him. So he bandaged him up, and then he helped the man into the inn and said he would help him in the future if he could. So the second way I think this tells us God wants us to love our neighbour is he wants us to meet the immediate needs and help them on their way as well. And that's why Christians are so involved in development work. The Samaritan sacrificed himself. He broke off his journey. He didn't give the man his whole wallet and say to the man, you know, here, have everything I've got. He didn't end up in the water himself like the man with the dog. He was sensible in the way he helped the man. And lots of Christians are involved in development work. We've got some fair trade stuff for sale downstairs. Jill and David are on that stall. And the idea of that is not just to help people when they're really, really starving, but to help develop, help trade to develop in a fair way. And here's some BMS missionaries, and this is in Peru. And what they're doing is they're helping people. That there is a funny-looking cooking thing. It's a stove, and it uses a lot less fuel than a normal stove. And I think that's a really Christian way. I think that's a way that Jesus would approve of helping people in other parts of the world, helping them with their development, helping them to move on. The Good Samaritan, he made a commitment to the man, and ideally our love would have a commitment, and it would be wise the way we help people and sensible. Well, I haven't got to the twist in the story yet. So far, Jesus has shown us how we should love the neighbour, but he hasn't really answered the question at the beginning. Can anyone tell me the question from the beginning? What was the big question? Oh, yeah.
Who is my neighbour?
I'm very bad with this today. Who is my neighbour? Yes, who is my neighbour? Jesus hasn't answered that question, and they get to the end of the story, and Jesus turns the question back on the person who asked it. And we have to understand now that the Samaritans and the Jewish people really didn't like each other at all. They hated each other. There was a huge barrier between them, and it had built up over the years, a barrier of not trusting each other. They felt over the years that the Samaritans had let down the Jewish people and vice versa, and they'd done things to hurt each other. It was a really bad relationship. And Jesus tells a story with one of the enemy as the hero. One of the enemy, one of the Samaritans, isn't the Samaritan that's hurt on the road and the Jewish person helps him. No, it's the Samaritan who helps the Jewish man on the road. The baddie becomes the hero. And let's look at that in the reading. Who is our neighbour? And Jesus concluded, in your opinion, which one of these three acted like a neighbour towards the man attacked by the robbers? The teacher of the law answered, and it doesn't say through gritted teeth, but he doesn't say the name. He doesn't say it was the man from Samaria. He says, the one who was kind to him. He can't say it almost, maybe. Jesus replied, you go then and do the same. That's the punchline for the story. Jesus hasn't got any time for the barriers that are put up between people, that we put up, dividing ourselves from other people. The Samaritan is the one who loved here, he says. Take an example from him. Don't go missing out the Samaritans when you're talking about who your neighbour is. Don't miss out people who don't look like you, who eat different food from you, who worship in a different way. Don't miss out people from a different ethnic group, people who are disabled, people whose lifestyles are different. God wants us to love each other. Some of these verses, this relates to the church, really, this verse at the end. You're all one in union in Christ Jesus. In the church, there shouldn't be those barriers. But this story shows that the barriers that we put to God's love shouldn't be there either. We need to show God's love to the world, regardless of historical things between different cultures or the way we feel about different people. I'm going to look back at that slide again, my Daily Mail slide. If Jesus was telling this story today to us, who would he make the Samaritan? Would it be the banker who helps someone on the road? Would it be the Muslim who helps someone on the road? Would it be the immigrant who helps someone on the road? The benefit claimant? Who would it be that Jesus would make the Samaritan? Who do we have the barrier up to say, no, we're not going to help you. You went down that road yourself, and we don't want to help you. You're different from us. Well, that was just a few of the things from this story of the Good Samaritan. Do you know, as I read it, I thought, what a fantastic story. There's so much in it. And so much that we can learn about God's love for us and about how Jesus wants us to love other people. Let's just look at our final slide then. So God wants us to not to judge other people, to have compassion on them. He wants us to help in practical ways and to help people move on. And he wants us to love across the barriers that we've got, the barriers that we put up, because he sees human beings as people that he has made.